And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and rock god Rick Mexa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here with Captain John Collins of the seasoned deckhand, we're calling him today. And John has been around a long time in the biz here, and people know him and respect him and love him, certainly, for all the good things he does. If you've ever fished with John, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't fished with John, sometimes you get opportunities to do that on the Royal Polaris during the summer.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Hey, you want to join us? One line open at 858-457-1090. One line open at 877-792-1090. Thanks to Mark Pisano and the great people over at 22nd Street Landing. We're giving away a trip on the Freedom to be good to be used anytime in 2018. So that's going to be quite a giveaway here for one lucky caller this morning. So you want to get through, have a chance to talk fishing with John, there's your chance. You know, John, we were talking in the break about all the great captains in this sport fishing fleet up and down the coast here of Southern California. Who are some of the great ones you've worked for? I mean, or that you respect and talk about?
You know, I respect all of them. I haven't worked for, obviously, not as many that are out there, but I do have a tremendous amount of respect for any of them. They get that time to be able to run, especially the long-range boats are tremendous amount of pressure, and they seem to respond quite well. On the Angler, Dan Sansom, who built the Angler, I worked for him for 12 years on the Angler. Brian Evans, who ran the Angler for a couple of years, both great fishermen. Even Sean Trowbridge, he ran the boat for a year. Worked for him on there. Great guy to work with.
Yeah.
And on the Royal Polaris, Roy Rose, Jonathan, and, of course, the infamous Frank Lopresti.
Yeah.
And on the Independence, Jeff DuBois and a new kid on the boat, a young man named Matt Collin. He's an up-and-comer. He's running a few trips on the boat now. Great guy, great personality. People love him, and he catches fish.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've really
had some great opportunities to work for some great guys, and I've learned a lot from those guys running those boats.
Yeah.
The one that I wished I could have worked for that I heard so much about, or two, I should say, is Don Sansom, who used to own the Qualifier 105, and Steve Loomis. I wished I could have worked for Steve. I've heard so many Steve stories, but
Steve's an amazing guy.
He got out of the business.
And Don's an amazing guy. Of course, Don is over at Pearson Fuels there in Shelter Island, and
correct.
You can still see and talk fishing with Don over there. He is such a wonderful person, Don is, and just takes such good – his customer care at the fuel dock there.
Oh, for sure.
Is like no other.
The best word to describe Don is he's a gentleman.
He's a total gentleman.
Yeah, he really is.
Really. And he's so concerned about making sure people are happy and satisfied when they're customers.
Couldn't have put it better.
Yeah, he's a good man for sure.
Yep.
We're lucky to have that guy around for sure. Hey, let's go on to jump into those jam-packed phone lines. They want to talk to you. Let's talk to Bob and Cerritos. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
You have a question, Bob?
Yes. I wanted to I'm getting ready to go out on in January on Takis trip here. Been fishing that for about the last 15 years. And with the recent closure of Clarion, are we still going to be able to fish that island? And I want to get John's feelings on what the impact is going to be on the long-range fleet now.
You know, on Friday, the president of Mexico signed a, I don't know what you would actually call it, but yeah, a decree that made the islands very similar to some of the closures we have up here and like at Guadalupe. a reserve, and it included Clarion in that signature. The finalized versions of what can and cannot be done haven't been worked out yet. And as far as your trip goes in January, I can't answer that question right now. We're waiting for some guidance from Ken Franke at SAC there to find out if we're still going to be able to continue fishing the buffer zone as we've been able to fish for the last several years. I just can't answer that question. I don't think anybody can answer that.
Nobody knows yet.
Time.
It's still up in the air. What about Hurricane Bank? Hurricane Bank's 180 miles from Clarion.
Hurricane Bank is not included in that closure.
It's not included in it.
Okay. It is not.
So that's a totally separate.
And there was a period of, you all remember there when the Revillagigedos got closed down, the entire bunch, Clarion and so forth. They closed them down
for
2 or 3 years, and all we had was the lower banks below Mag Bay, and we had Hurricane Bank. We had some phenomenal fishing.
Oh, yeah.
We really did. There's so many times we go to Clarion that you get there and you start hooking tuna, and the sharks are horrendous at times. I've been there several times. We just had to leave.
Yeah.
You could not bring a fish in without getting
You can't
there.
Rely on Hurricane Bank to do it 100%.
No, you can't.
It could be, but it couldn't be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just like those trips to Clipperton, right? Sometimes you get there and it's a ghost town. Sometimes you get there, it's a bonanza.
That's correct. I've been there once. Unfortunately, we didn't have the trip that I was hoping we would have. It was good fishing, but it wasn't what I've heard, trips previous.
So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Let's talk to Dave in Poway. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call. I had the privilege of being on that RP trip that Rick Jensen sponsored, and can't say enough good things about his organizational efforts, about the RP and the crew. Just really had a great trip. And used your knots, your knot recommendations, John, and they worked flawlessly. I caught 4 yellowfin and a couple over 100, and just had a good experience.
Wonderful.
Wow, you had a good trip.
I did have a good trip.
Yeah.
Kind of a quick fun story about time at the rail. When we were at the 50-mile bank fishing bluefin, it was active in the morning on the squid, but then it got real slow in the middle of the day. And there was last call for lunch, and I just pinned on a fresh squid on a new leader, and I had it drifting out in the zone in the current. And Don Salveson came out. He was the one who invited me on the trip. And I said, Don, why don't you just fish this instead of, rigging up your own rig? I'll go in and have my sandwich. Sure enough, not 2 minutes later, someone comes in and says, I hate to tell you this, but I'm fighting a bluefin on your rig. So ended up being a nice 55-pound bluefin. And by the way, it's Don's birthday today, so I guess we kind of shared an early birthday present together on that one.
There you go. Well, happy birthday, Don.
Yep.
That's great.
My question is this, John, for fishing flatfalls or PL68s or yo-yo fishing, what do you recommend for a knot for that connection, and or do you use a swivel for the leaders on those flatfalls?
Yeah, you can use a swivel or a ring. Either way, you want something to keep your line from getting twisted. A smaller, strong black barrel swivel served the purpose quite well.
Uh-huh.
I prefer on a flatfall or any lure, I like to tie a double San Diego.
Okay.
And the reason I do this is I love the springer knot on a hook. And the adage is when you hook a fish on bait, you get him up, you're always told, cut a little bit off, retie it. Cut a little bit off, retie it. But when you catch fish on a jig, I know maybe a big bluefin on a flatfall, you might do it. But normally, yo-yoing and so forth, people don't take the time to retie. They just drop it right back down again, catch several fish, and then all of a sudden, flink, they lose their jig. And that's because they didn't retie it. But I like the San Diego. It's bulky, but it doesn't make any difference on the jig. That's not going to stop the fish from biting the jig.
Now, one thing I notice on a flat fall is if you catch a big fish on that and you don't use some type of a ring or a swivel, that ring that's attached to the flat fall can cut through your line.
That's correct.
Yeah, so you definitely want to use some type of a ring, a heavy ring or some type of a swivel on it.
Yeah, or you could use like what you use on when you crimp, you could use a small piece of...
like a chafing gear.
Exactly, yeah. Chafing gear. Plastic, yeah. They have the plastic tube, and then they have the wired ones there.
Yeah.
You could use a small piece of that, and that would give you a little loop between the knot and the actual connecting to that to prevent that.
And especially for bluefin, you want to have a couple of feet of heavy fluorocarbon.
Correct.
With chafing gear attached to that.
I think that would solve that problem.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Gene in Long Beach, you're next up on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've had the privilege to fish with John, and I just want to say that he is definitely a great fisherman, but not only that, he's a true gentleman.
Thank you.
And also, I wanted to ask a question on fishing reel for my daughter. I recently took her out Friday fishing for the first time on my boat, and the reel that I was using was a conventional, and I'm just wondering for a child of that age if we should introduce him to a level wind or stick with the conventional and make him go through the process of learning on that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the conventional is the way to go. Obviously, as she gets older, she may, as much as she enjoys this, she may want to progress up the line, and conventional is the way to go for the most part on that. Get used to the level wind. When you try to go from level wind to conventional, it's a little more difficult, but if you start off with conventional, it's easy to stick with the conventional to guide the line back and forth. The whole key to that is keep the line flat. Don't let it pile up on the middle, one side or the other. It reduces the amount of backlashes you get. And the line doesn't want to fall off one side or the other as long as it's wind on flat, just like you would with a level wind. But
teach him from the beginning,
Get her used to winding it on between her fingers back and forth across the spool.
Okay, sounds great. Yeah, we had that problem with the bunching up, and there was a little, you can tell, a little frustration in that part. But appreciate the information, and gentlemen, have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate the call this morning. Gary Schiebler, Thursday Night Fishing Club. What's up, Gary?
Well, hi, Pete. How are you, bud? Happy Thanksgiving and everything. I heard you were back in Chicago, huh?
In Chicago, yes, indeed.
Yeah, I know all about Chicago.
Yeah.
It's good to be back here in SoCal.
It is.
Listen, I
good
just
city.
Want to let John know that after fishing in Tennessee for the last 8 years before moving back here, that John Collins knot was an absolute lifesaver for fishing bass, both smallmouth and largemouth. I fished a bunch of tournaments back there, and it's just so easy if you get busted off to just tie that John Collins knot and you're back in the water. So not only for the saltwater guys, but freshwater guys, use that John Collins knot. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I use it on all my freshwater applications. Like I said, it is so easy.
John, when you tie it, are you always going five turns?
Okay. I this is the way I explain it to guys that are very familiar with fishing and that I feel comfortable telling this to. But the way I do it is 30, 40, 50, 3, 4, 5, and above. So when I'm fishing 30-pound fluorocarbon on even 65-pound spectra, I only go down three times down, three times back, and it reduces the size even more.
Wow.
On 40-pound, I go four down, four up, and 50-pound and above, I go five.
Wow.
There's absolutely no reason to go more than five. You can use five on 30 and 40-pound, but I have found that on 30-pound, three is all you need.
All you need. Okay.
That's all you need.
John, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
To someone who's caught 370-plus bass over 10 pounds, which is just my head is spinning, what would you suggest to someone like myself who is not I'm not throwing the big trout swim baits and the Huddlesons and that kind of thing. If I wanted to go after a double-digit bass fishing lighter tackle because I'm more of a finesse guy, what would you do here in SoCal in spring to kind of target those bigger fish?
When I target the bigger fish, I depend, I have a tremendous amount of dependence on my electronics.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that go with me, I fish with very few guys that come with me, mainly because I know that when I take them to different spots that I go to on the lake, they know how to keep their mouth shut. They don't give away all the little secrets. They don't give away the spots that I'm fishing. And I'm looking for spots that I feel in my own mind will hold big fish, ambush spots, subtle rock piles, ridges, drop-offs, not drastic, but drop-offs. And I like to go across those spots. I meter them. And if I don't see anything on them, I go to the next spot, and I go to the next spot. And there's times I might meter around the lake for 2 hours before I see what I want to see on the meter. And I'm a bait fisherman. I'll be the first. I love fishing bait. I love fishing crawdads. There's an old saying, you want to give them a treat, feed them meat.
That's how you catch them.
And that's why I fish crawdads, because that's probably the most natural food in any lake is a crawdad. I mean, the lakes that have trout, they'll chase the trout, but they'll always, always, without exception, they'll eat a crawdad.
Yeah, and when you, what kind of electronics are you using, John?
I'm using Lowrance.
Lowrance.
I have an HDS-7.
HDS-7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
thank you, John. That's very helpful. I mean, it really is, because I'm a jig fisherman, and I like to fish jigs with, like, a crawdad or a double grub, double-gel grub trailer on it. So
don't get me wrong. My second method and my second most favorite way of fishing bass is on a jig. In fact, I have the lake record at Lake Henshaw. Of all lakes, a 13-pound bass, I caught that on a pig and jig.
On a pig and jig.
Yeah. Nice.
All right.
Nice. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Gary, nice to hear from you. How's the music?
Alrighty. Thanks. Everything's going great. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. He's a bass fisherman there, so he's moved back here to Southern California. He wants to do some of this big double-digit bass with you.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, 877-792-1090, open right now. You want to get through. It's been a busy morning. There is your chance. Let's talk to Matt in Fountain Valley. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, fellas. It's an honor to be on the show this morning with John. And happy holidays. I'm about ready to go catch me another one of those big old gnarly bluefin.
Nice.
Like November when they came, got on the squid in Montana last year. I got my first one over 100.
Wonderful.
But anyway, the knot, you know, is it's our confidence, you know, and when we're fishing the big tuna, as we all know, is confidence in line strength and knot strength is everything. I used to fish with a guy by the name of the late great Joe Miller, you know, on the Toronado and stuff up in Long Beach, and he perfected a knot that I think might be the John's, or close to the John Calls knot, but listening to the prior caller, Gary, I love the Dorados. I love that. I still play that CD. I think the way John just described the turns in the knot, it might not be the Joe Miller knot. Do you guys know about the Joe Miller knot, or is it the same knot?
It is not the same knot. The Joe Miller knot is not a knot for connecting mono or fluorocarbon to spectra. It's a hook knot. It's a wonderful knot. For guys that know how to tie it, I suggest sticking with it. It's a little more complicated than the Springer knot. It's three wraps on one side, three on another, pull it down. It's a very difficult knot, in my opinion, to try to teach somebody how to tie. And I found that with the difficulty in tying a knot, a passenger would get frustrated. And I know how to tie it. I don't teach it. I will tie it for a guy if he wants it, but I'd rather show him how to tie that Springer knot 2x2. It's so much easier, and their tension level is right
better.
There.
Who is Springer?
Springer, it's all a mistake, is what it is. For some reason, I kept thinking the guy that got that big fish on the Royal Polaris for 6.5 hours fighting that tuna, I kept thinking it was Springer, and I was corrected a couple of years later, but the damage had been done. I just still call it a Springer knot, but I forgot the past.
And you're kind of the one that brought that knot to the forefront and started teaching people.
Yeah, I learned it from the individual that tied it. I'm not taking any credit for the knot whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm just taking the credit for, like you said, bringing it to the attention of people. It wasn't one that was put out there, you know, for everybody to learn how to tie real quick.
Sure. Matt, thanks a lot for the call, this morning. Let's go to John in Mexico. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Morning.
John Randall. I just wanted to call in. You come in with a nice load of fish there Wednesday. You know I work part-time at Fisherman's Processing.
Right, I do.
But I haven't had many. I can't remember a day at Fisherman's when we had four kinds of fish off that boat in one trip. It was really nice fish. But the reason I call, I hope you're as good as deckhand as you were bass fisherman. I know you work for Danny Sampson. I remember when we met you.
Yeah.
We were at Lake Wolford. We used to keep an eye on you all the time when you sat on that one spot all the time.
So
I just wanted to let you know that's how you met Danny.
I met Danny actually before that. I've known Dan for a long time. But I also remember the time when you and he were fishing together, and Danny got hungry, and he pulled the one bow line in and let you off on the shore to walk over to the restaurant on the other side of the highway from the lake. And when you came back, during the time you were gone, Dan had two fish over 10 pounds.
Oh, you went the wrong time, huh?
Yeah, I remember that, too. One anchor was on the shore. We were fishing right on the dam.
Yeah, the buoy line, exactly. But I remember.
Yeah, the buoy line.
I remember that. And you came back with your arms full of hamburgers and cheeseburgers and french fries, and Dan was sitting on the boat. He'd caught two nice 10-pound fish while you were gone.
Like, thanks for leaving.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know we had a lot of good times fishing with you around on all the lakes, so I'll see you again when you come in next trip, probably. So I just wanted to say hello.
All right, John. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your fine work there at Fisherman's Processing, too, John. We appreciate that. Hey, when we come back, more of your phone calls you want to get through, we have a line open, 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. Still have time to talk to Captain John Collins, have a chance to win that trip on the Freedom. Get on through, get on the lines here, stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
If you've been searching for that perfect inshore and offshore boat, Defiance is the one. Go far and stay dry is the Defiance slogan. And that is exactly what you get in these overbuilt trailerable offshore boats. Inland Boat Center has the Defiance you are looking for in stock, ready to fish. A huge 2.5-acre indoor showroom and over 300 new and pre-owned boats for everyone, family-owned and operated. Their customer service is the finest available. They take trades of all types and offer amazing financing deals. Check out Inland Boat Center's inventory of Defiance Pilot House boats online, including the Admiral 22 and the San Juan 25. Solid construction with no wood to ever rot. Defiance boats are built to last. It is the peak of the season, and the Defiance boat deals have never been better. Along with great financing, you could be fishing next week in your new boat for much less than you ever thought possible. Inland Boat Center, 681 East Jacinto in Paris. Check the website for the current inventory and more. Or at inlandboatcenter.com. Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about one of my favorite places to fish in the world. It's Whalers Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. For several years now, we've been hosting groups at Whalers Cove, and this is certainly one trip I do not miss. Each year, the Powers family makes great improvements to the lodge that make this great lodge even better. New rooms, new boats, new fish processing facilities, new outdoor kitchen. The list goes on and on. As for fishing, the calm waters around Whalers Cove are 100 miles from any large town, so you will enjoy wilderness adventure without the crowds. Whalers Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there's no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Here's the deal. The word is out on Whalers Cove, so you want to go? Book soon. WhalersCoveLodge.com or call 800-423-3123. three. WhalersCoveLodge.com for the Alaska fishing experience of a lifetime.
I like rafting. I love whitewater. But I never forget that snowmelt in the river can cause cold water shock. I wear a life jacket always. Anyone with me has got to do the same. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color, clarity, detail. Maui Jim.
XEPRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. You want to get through, talk to Captain John Collins, win a trip on the Freedom, 858-457-1090. Open right now. And, Captain Dave must be taking the day off, the weekend off, and so we don't have a fishdope.com report today. But I want to remind you, the report is sponsored by Gamakatsu Hooks. Gamakatsu Live Bait Hooks drive the point home with Gamakatsu, featuring the absolute perfect bend and the ideal barb that allows your bait to swim harder and longer. And when they do fall victim to the intended predator, Gamakatsu bites back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. And I might also remind you, if you want to take advantage of that fishdope.com deal, $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space. And they have gift certificates, too, that you can take advantage of it, too. So, great gift for the angler. They'll remember you all year long. Fishdope.com. Check it out. Let's go ahead and jump back into the phones, talk to Harvey in Simi Valley. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning. Good morning. John, it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you. Thank you for everything that you've done over the years.
Thank you.
I watched the Springer video on the RP site. After you mentioned it, and you indicated that it has to go, the line should go in from the back side of the hook with the point down. What's the difference between going point down versus point up?
You know, I find you're going to hook the hook onto something and you tie that just like you do with a San Diego. In fact, you start the knot off just like a San Diego, where with a hook point down, I find it easier to put the hook down from the top, down through the hook, come under your finger, go back down through the top, the hook, come back under your finger again. It just seems like it's easier than trying to come up from underneath the hook. It just, I mean, you're looking over the top of it. I just find it personally
easier way,
the easiest way to do
it. It's not efficient.
I'm sorry?
It's not a fishability issue. It's not a fishability issue. It's just the ease in tying it.
That's correct. That is correct. And I have tried it both ways. The knot will hold either way. So, but, again, you're looking down over the top. It just seems like everything lines up better when you do it from the top down.
Yeah. If you look at that video, and, again, it's on the Royal Polaris website on their videos, the Springer knot, you go two times around your finger twice and then back a third time and then just two loops through the loops you made.
Yeah. What you do is you
just
get down.
Two,
you
right?
You take the tag end, you take the main line, and you put it over your index finger.
Right.
You take the tag end, go down through the top of the hook, come underneath your finger, go back through the eye of the hook again, come under your index finger, and then over the top and in between the two double strands, you go once, twice, you take the tag end, you pull it straight back, and as you pull it back, slide your finger out, keeping tension on both the main line and the tag line, and with the tag line, you hold on to it, and the main line, you pull it down and pull it tight with the main line.
Okay, with the main line, not the
okay,
tag line.
That's correct.
Yeah,
it was easy enough. To, matter of fact, it's probably even easier than the San Diego knot, which is I've been using for decades. I go on a long trip every year, a 14-day trip, and I've tried using a PL-68, but my stamina, after about two or three drops, I'm done with it. And I was thinking about maybe a flat fall on a long trip. What do you think about it, and should the hooks be modified? Because I know Rockhard Rick talks about changing the ways that the hooks are attached.
Yeah, they have owner, I think, has out some packages that have them set up in there with heavier and bigger hooks for the flat fall as it's made. And it's funny you should mention that. I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, as much as those flat falls are used up here for bluefin, you see very few people using them down on the lower banks, and I don't understand why.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they work down there?
Exactly. I mean, tuna's tuna. When they're down deep like that, I got to believe those yellowfin would eat a flat fall, and I got to believe your hook to land, again, would be probably increased significantly over a big long PL68.
You know, it's funny, and you talk about hooks on the flat fall. Boy, I've seen some of those guys that rig them up like porcupines. And they have like five, literally like five hooks on it. I mean, you know, why not, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if the thing's going to bite it, it's not going to stop it from biting. It's like more places to get it on. It's like
one hook pulls out, you got another.
You got another one, yeah. But, I mean, there's guys, they put hooks on the top.
Correct.
The hook couple, and then it comes with a couple hooks on the bottom.
I see them put the double stinger on the top and the double on the bottom. They got four hooks.
Yeah. So why not, right?
Exactly.
The more is better in that case.
Yeah, gaff them with your fishing line.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. Hey, Harv, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Good questions there. Appreciate that. That does free up 877-792-1090. Open right now. Joe in San Pedro. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. My question is regarding the RP knot. Last Fred Hall show at one of the fishing line booths, a gentleman showed me that knot doubling up the braid because of the difference in diameter of line between the mono and the braid, and he felt that it was maybe a better knot to do it that way. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that, John, if it really would help doing it twice if you've done it that way, or just doing a single wrap going up the four and then down four.
You know, I guess I've always had a feeling that if it works, don't mess with it. And I've never tried it with doubling up. I honestly don't know what that would do. If you're going to double and wrap down, it's going to make the knot a little bigger, maybe not a whole lot, but it's definitely going to increase the size or the bulk of the knot itself. Honestly, that's the first time I've heard anybody talk about doubling the line.
Now, I've heard people tying bimini twist to get a double line and then tying it like it was a single line, but is there really any benefit? You're just adding another knot in the connection.
Yeah, you're just adding another another possible failure in the equation.
Yeah.
And the least amount of things that could go wrong, again, why mess with it if it works?
Like the big knot during the early days was the Albright special.
Correct.
You looked like a bimini twist.
Looked like a friggin' banana.
Yeah, exactly. But it was effective, and it worked.
It was effective. Well, there's no question about it.
And one other thing, if you wouldn't mind, I got up a little late here to catch the show, and I missed the three favorite knots of yours. What are the three knots that you should know?
Okay. Well, when I mentioned to the gal, she said, she asked questions on different knots. Springer, obvious, for a hook. Single San Diego for a hook. A double San Diego for a jig. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's all a guy needs in his arsenal to be successful. And you master those hooks to the point where you can tie them. You can show somebody else to tie them. And that's all you need. I mean,
those are for connections to the hook.
Both hooks and a double San Diego to a jig.
Okay. And then what about connection Spectra to fluorocarbon?
Spectra to fluorocarbon, the RP knot, for up to 80-pound line, and then over that, up to even including 80-pound. And then I like to use the Bob Sands Tony Pena knot for 100, 130, 150-pound.
Well, thank you, guys.
Joe. Good questions. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning, 877-792-1090. Just opened up. You want to get your chance? There it is. Robert in Capistrano Beach. You're next up on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, nice. Thanks for getting me in. We're talking about all these knots this morning. How does Mr. Collins feel about the Sutto crimp kits?
You know, it's a great method of connecting, but I'll be very, very honest with you, and it has nothing to do with Gary's crimp kit. I have seen every single type of connection where you go up inside the Spectra fail.
Really?
And it's not because of Sutto crimp. It's not because of the serving. It's not because of the nail knot. It's because it wasn't done right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason. Yep. I mean, I've sat on the bow of the boat, stood up there with a guy. He's got his connection, and he had a wind on. And he's winding it in, and I see the loop-to-loop coming up through the guides. And he's got the rod on the rail, and I said, I have some good news and I have some bad news. I said, the good news is your fish is at color. The bad news is that's as close as it's going to get, because I was watching the connection come right out through the specter.
Oh.
And I'm trying to get the line and pull on it, helping him get it on the reel, and it just didn't happen. And this has happened on several occasions. I don't like wind-ons unless I do them myself. I don't like to depend on somebody else doing a connection for me. Who knows? He's sitting in a factory maybe somewhere doing wind-on. Maybe he had a bad day. Maybe he got drunk the night before. And he's doing these connections, and you're spending all this money going on a long trip, depending on that individual's expertise. On a trip 3 years ago, on a trip in November in particular, I had a guy, I'm not going to mention the name of the company that did the wind-ons. He had three in a row pull out.
Ooh.
Three in a row. This guy, you could have fried an egg on his head.
Oh.
He was not a happy camper.
Yeah. And that's why I like that Sato crimp system, is you can do it yourself. You can teach yourself. You got to know how to do it, but it's relatively easy to learn and do it properly.
It's very easy. The biggest problem that I've seen with that is guys over-crimp. These
yes.
crimps are soft.
Yep.
A handshake. Just like a good firm handshake, you don't have to grab both ends of the crimp and squeeze it down like you're trying to squeeze the life out of it. And that's the problem. You pinch that line inside that crimp, and that's right where it's going to break.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is like Ricky always talks about, I like putting two crimps. You know, why not?
Exactly.
They're not that expensive, and if especially on heavier line,
yep.
if that's where you're using it, put a second crimp on, put your glue on, and you've got just that much more assurance.
I couldn't agree more.
One thing that I'll note, too, that we've talked about before, and I love Seaguar Fluor Premier. That's my line of choice, and, you know, it ties great with the John Collins knot, and I'm mm-hmm. sure with the Bob Sands knot and such like that. When you use it with a Sato crimp or with a finger torture methodology, it does have some stretch to it. And you've got to use a much smaller crimp than what you would use normally with mm-hmm. that. Or just use regular Seaguar Blue Label and then you avoid
sure.
that problem
exactly.
altogether if you're using that type of connection.
Right.
But the nice thing about the Sato crimp connection is it's pretty seamless with big line.
It is.
Yeah.
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 There's
yeah.
no question. It's
yeah.
very, very easy. It's as clean as can be.
Yeah.
And like I said,
just
these
time
are,
consuming.
And these are time proven to be very effective connections.
Mm-hmm.
And if it fails, the only reason it's going to fail is because it wasn't done properly.
Right. Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, hope that helps you out there, Robert. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. That does free up 858-457-1090. Open right now. Larry in Wildomar, you're next up. Good morning, Larry. Larry, are you with us? I guess we lost Larry. I have a question for John about bass fishing.
Okay.
I know you're like the bass fishing guy, and I know we already got it out of you that you revealed that you use crawdads.
That's correct.
Okay. How do you hook a crawdad for success?
You know, I did. Right after I got out of Point Loma sport fishing itself during the winter months and went to work with Dan on the American Angler starting in the summer of 91. I was involved with a guy, and we went out of the area, and we kind of did some commercial crawdad for the bait shops and for stuff like that. And what I did was I studied the crawdads, and I noticed that 99% of the time when a crawdad is just walking, he's always walking forward.
Hmm.
Always walking forward.
When they don't walk backwards.
No. They do, like I said, very, very seldom do they just walk backwards. They walk forward. When they're looking for stuff, they walk forward. The obvious is their mouth is right underneath where the pinchers join the shell, and that's where they're going to eat. When they get scared, they shoot backwards, and that tail just starts going a mile a minute, and it gets that vibration on the tail. So I hook the crawdad. I come up underneath the extension of the shell between its eyes, and there's a little soft spot, and that's where I bring the hook through that. So that when I'm working a crawdad, I'm actually slowly working him across the bottom, and I'm pulling him forward, which is a very natural way for a crawdad to come in the water. And the other thing, too, is that when a crawdad, when a bass eats a crawdad, and I say this always, they will turn that crawdad around if they haven't already got it turned around, or they will swallow it tail first. So when I set the hook, I'm almost always hooking them the roof of the mouth, the corner of the mouth. I'm not hooking them anywhere inside the throat.
Wow.
So when I release them, they're not hurt.
And when you're putting that hook in, the hook points up.
Correct.
Okay.
From the bottom through the top up.
Good tip. Good tip. Let's go to Fallbrook and talk to Jamie. Good morning, Jamie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Good.
Hey, I was just listening to John, and you know, I make all those wind-ons, too, and I absolutely agree with them. If it's not done right, they're going to come apart.
Yep.
I've done somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 of them now.
Whoa.
And none of them have broken. Ken and I both, the reports we get back are really great, but I take the time on each one of them just like I'm going to fish them. So I just wanted to say that I agree with them 100%. It takes a love of it, literally.
Now, Jamie, of course, works for Ken at Ken's Custom Reel and obviously does all this guy is a master when it comes to wind-ons. What method do you use, Jamie, when you do the – do you crimp or do you tie?
No, I serve it. We do a 10-turn uni-knot. Then we do – I do probably a minimum of 25 turns with a half hitch and then another 10 hitch – uni knot at the end of that, and then the tack glue over at least 6 inches of it.
There you go.
But we haven't had any of them fail, and some guys have caught some giant fish on them.
Oh yeah,
we've recommended and still recommend your wind-ons at Ken's Custom Reels. I would say probably the best in the business. I don't think there's anybody that uses them that would dispute that you guys make the best and the ones you can really count on if you don't want to make your own.
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, these are proven methods that work if they're done properly.
Yeah,
but it has to be done properly.
Exactly.
Definitely.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, no doubt. And you have them available, but you definitely want to make sure that you're stocked for your trip because sometimes you run out because you're high demand, right, Jamie?
Absolutely. Sometimes, especially if the sharks like the Guadalupe trips, Ken and I were going through them. We went through about 60 packs between the customers and us. It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's good. That's good fishing. Jamie, keep up the good work. And, yeah, guys, head on to Ken's Custom Reels there in Oceanside and grab a load of his wind-ons. They're really, really good.
Good.
Bruce in Huntington Beach, you're next up. Bruce, good morning.
Morning, guys. Hey, John, I've noticed I've had some failures with a bimini, and it usually happens when I am trying to spread the loop to get the line to wrap back on itself. It seems like it stresses the line going into the knot.
Oh. Well, again, a bimini is a good connection. Talking with a master of Spectra, Jerry Brown, and this guy is probably one of the smartest men I've ever had the pleasure to talk to. And he's really into the theory of all this stuff. And he told me, and I'm going to believe this. I have no reason not to believe it. When you tie a bimini in Spectra at the knot, you reduce the breaking strength by 15% on a bimini. And I have no reason to disbelieve him. This guy is a master. He is so, so smart.
Interesting.
Yeah, 15%.
15%, which is a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you 100-pound Spectre, you're down to 85, basically 85 pounds.
Yeah.
60-pound, you're down to roughly 45. Okay. So, believe that. But I don't, you know, the only thing I can think of is that when you're spreading the loop to get the line to wrap back down, there's a possibility that instead of going side by side, it's going over another piece. Maybe you're not letting it come down side by side towards the knot. It's very important.
That could be easy to do.
Yeah, you don't want to cross over a line in any knot.
Yeah, for sure.
You want it to always go side by side.
Yep. Hey, hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up, see who won that trip on the Freedom. Tell you about next weekend's show. Stay tuned. Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. Let's talk hook up on the Mighty 1090.
Fifth Avenue Insurance has a new name. It's Snap Insurance, still providing anglers and boaters with the best in boat insurance and the lowest rates. The experts at Snap Insurance will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Traveling to Mexico? Snap has you covered. You can even work with your agent to wrap your home and auto with your boat policy to save even more. Call them for advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Snap Insurance, 800-527-6617 or snapins.com. That's snapins.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
For decades, the Kona Kai has been considered San Diego's premier marina, resort, and spa. Now with millions of dollars in upgrades, the Kona Kai Resort is a destination for travelers worldwide who can live it every day. The docks and services are the finest quality in San Diego, and the Kona Kai is the closest marina to the open ocean. As a marina tenant, you enjoy many benefits, including secured free parking, a deluxe health club, swimming pool, and more. Enjoy discounts at their restaurant, bar, and hotel. If you don't have a boat, there are memberships available at a very affordable price. The Kona Kai Club has been offering members a home away from home since 1953. Members can spend their days on Kona Kai's private beach, meet new people in the club's modern lounge, share a meal with family at Bessel Restaurant and Bar, or pamper themselves in Spa Terra. Check out ResortKonaKai.com on the web for more information, to reserve a slip, or inquire about joining the club. The Kona Resort, like being on vacation every day in your own backyard.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Congratulations, Joe and San Pedro. You're going fishing on the Freedom. And I want to thank Captain Mark Paisano for donating that. And what a great operation. The Freedom, 22nd Street Landing, class act for sure. No doubt about it. And, of course, class act right here sitting across from me, a guy that is such a giver. Of course, guys are lucky to going to be fishing on the Independence with you in December.
Yep.
That's going to be on the AFCO trip. What a great representative for
I'm excited. AFCO. It's like I'm going on my first trip.
Yeah,
I'm
it's really going to be excited. Great. How fun.
I love it.
And then, of course, all the knots and such, they can see you this summer, next summer on the Royal Polaris on occasional trips, right?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah, on the deck.
On the deck.
And, of course, always in the videos on the Royal Polaris website or on Let's Talk Hookup's YouTube channel. You can learn that John Collins knot. John, thanks
Correct.
For all you do for fishermen.
Hey, Pete, it's my pleasure, and I feel so great and honored that people take the time to acknowledge those facts. And it really makes me feel good when I get through showing somebody how to do something. They do it. They catch a fish, and they always come and say, John, look at this. Look at this. Look at this fish I got. You're not held. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's just such a great feeling.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Keep it up, John. We love it, and we sure appreciate all you do. And you keep it up, too. Have a great weekend and the rest of the holiday, and enjoy your family and the rest of the holiday here. And we'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Captain Mark Rayer and Deckhand Jack from GenRen Sport Fishing will be in the studio with us next Saturday. And then next Sunday, saltwater fly fishing experts Al Q and Jim Solomon will be in the studio with us next Saturday and Sunday. That's going to be a great weekend of shows. Again, thanks to Adam for all he does on the phones, as well as our archives on letstalkhookup.com and, of course, on the Mighty 1090 board. Thanks, Adam. You're the best. And we'll see you next week right back here on the Mighty 1090.